I want you to just take your Bibles and have it handy, because we're going to look at the book of Nehemiah today, and we're going to cover some ground with Nehemiah today. But last week, we started on a series entitled As For Me and My House. And last week, we looked at the foundation. The foundation was God's Word, not being just a hearer of it, but being a doer of it. A good, solid foundation is essential to the rest of the house. If you don't have a good foundation, it doesn't matter what pretty picture you're hanging up on the wall or what sort of flooring you have. It's going to collapse, just like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. But the wise man built his house upon the rock, and Jesus took that parable and connected it directly to, if you hear my words and do it, then you're like that wise man who built his house upon a rock. But if you hear my words and don't do it, then you're like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And so we looked at last week's truth of foundation being that the foundation is knowing God's Word, revolving yourselves around God's Word, centering yourself around God's Word. I hope that you've changed your course this week and said, wait a minute, I've got to get into God's Word. I've got to do it at least 5 minutes a day. I'm going to start somewhere. I'm going to let it grow in my life. If you didn't do it, I challenge you. I instruct you. I plead with you as your pastor. If you're listening here today online on Facebook or here in this congregation, get into God's Word. There's going to be a day where you may not have God's Word. You never know. We may become a nation where the Bible is taken away from us. And if that's the case, if that were to happen tomorrow, how much of God's Word will you have hidden in your heart? How much of God's Word will you have known to where you can stand firm on that solid foundation? That's the goal. For my desire for you all is to get into God's Word so that it can get into you and transform your life. Today, we're going to look at the entryway. We're going to look at the foyer, the door that leads into our houses. Even though in our houses, and you look around at your houses and you think, well, most of us have a kitchen, I would hope. Most of us have a bathroom, I would hope. Most of us have a bedroom. And most of us maybe have a little living area where we kind of sit and maybe watch TV, hang out with our friends. But we also, I would imagine, have a front door. I don't know how else you'd get in your house if you didn't have a front door. Maybe go through the chimney, go through a window. I think you got a front door. I think we're safe to say that all of us have some sort of entrance into our house. And so as we're looking at that, maybe even some of us might even have a back door. We might have a side door. We might have a door leading into our garage. The fact is, we have multiple entrances into our physical houses. And the same goes with our lives. There are many entry points, not just one. And there's many ways for things to enter into our lives that will either help us or harm us, build us up or tear us down, draw us towards Christ or lead us away from Christ. It's all in how we guard our gates. And I was praying about this and asking the Lord to show us what we needed this morning. I felt like the Holy Spirit was really giving me three steps here for us to be able to walk out in victory, in spiritual health, and in strength as it relates to these foyers, to this entryway into our lives. And I'm going to go to Nehemiah, my trusty friend, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Love Nehemiah. Love his heart. Love what he did. Read the book of Nehemiah. It will inspire you. So we look at the Old Testament, and we realize in the Old Testament, if you're at all familiar with it, that gates were a big deal in the Old Testament. They're mentioned a ton in the Old Testament because of their importance in keeping cities safe, healthy, prosperous, and secure. Any city in the Old Testament had a wall around it, and then there were gates to enter into and out of the city. And they were able to control with those gates who came in and who went out. They would open the gates when the sun came up, and they would close the gates when the sun went down. And they would guard those gates constantly, diligently, repairing them when needed to eliminate any chance of a breach for the enemy to sneak in. So Nehemiah, as we look at him real quick, he came into Jerusalem. He actually was in exile, and he came to Jerusalem at the permission of his master, who had been exiled away from it. He came back to Jerusalem, and the people that were left there in Jerusalem were distraught. It was an extremely low time in the nation's history. Due to years of attack and neglect and despair, the walls of the city were completely torn down. You read the book of Nehemiah, you see that the gates had been burned, the city had been pillaged, and the people and the city were fully vulnerable to any outside enemy attack. And Nehemiah, if you read the story, he saw the things that needed to be done when he arrived, and I'd like for us to look at them today as it relates to our gates and our lives and our entryways and how we can first identify them, secondly, rectify them, and thirdly, fortify them. Let's look at this. If you're taking notes in your journals today, I want you to write down, identify them. Identify them. It's on the screen. So when Nehemiah arrived, the first thing that he did was to scope out the area around the city. And if you have your Bibles open to Nehemiah, we're going to look at chapter 2, and we're going to read the 12th through the 15th verse. It says, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night I went out through the valley gate toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem which had been broken down and its gates which had been destroyed by fire. And then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night examining the wall, and finally I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. You see, what Nehemiah was doing there was he was identifying what he needed to do. He identified the walls that needed to be rebuilt. He identified the gates that needed to be repaired. He didn't just jump in there to the task. He wisely considered the project and identified what needed to be done. So what does that look like for you and me today? What does that look like as it relates to our gates? Well, first we have to identify the gates in our lives. I want to identify some gates. I want us to take some inventory this morning. Please take some notes. What has been breached in your life? What has been torn down? What is vulnerable? We have several candidates. We have several potential suspects here of these gates that are in our lives. And there's four big ones that I'd like to identify very quickly this morning. The first one is the eye gate. Then there's the ear gate. We have the heart gate and we have the mind gate. Let's look at those really quickly. First, the eye gate. I want to ask you a very pointed question this morning. Young people, adults, men and women, listen to me this morning. What are you viewing online? What are you viewing on TV? What are you viewing in magazines? What are you looking at that the enemy is bringing in front of you? What are those things that are enemies to holiness in your life that you're exposing your eye gate to? What are you looking at lustfully at your work? Who are you looking at lustfully at your work? In your school or in places that you frequent that are destroying your walk with Christ? What lust is in your heart that you're allowing your eye gate to feed? What material things are you coveting that you just can't escape? I want that. I want that. I want that. And as you look at it, you continue to grow in that lust and desire. You covet it. Where are your eyes wandering that are filling your heart with sludge and longing and compromise that are akin to you might as well be burning the eye gate down and making a breach for the enemy to enter without any resistance? We must ask ourselves and be honest with the answer. What about our ear gates? What are you listening to that's corroding your walk with Christ? There's so much filthy song lyrics out there. There's swearing in movies. There's dirty jokes from friends and co-workers and unbiblical opinions and chatter online and face-to-face that we expose ourselves to on a daily basis. What about gossip? Pastor, I don't listen to those filthy songs and the lyrics. And all. Okay, what about gossip? That's kind of it's a prayer request, so I'm only going to say this once. Because gossip, you repeat it. So I'm not going to repeat it. It's just going to be once, but it's a prayer request. It's gossip. Listening to others and talking about them in a way that tears them down and builds you up is not Christ-like. It's burning your ear gate. And it's exposing yourself to the enemy's attacks. Folks, we choose what we want to hear. No one is making you tune into that station. No one is making you stand around for that joke. No one is making you snuggle up to the latest juicy bit of gossip. It's your choice. You're doing it. And you might as well be lifting a torch to your ear gate, because you're destroying yourself every single time you choose to listen to that destructive stuff. We must ask ourselves and be honest. What about our heart gate? Our emotions are like a roller coaster. We hear some bad news and down we go. Someone hurts our feelings and down we go. Someone cuts us off in traffic and we explode. Someone does us wrong and we get vengeful. Up and down and up and down. We allow things that happen outside of us to get into our hearts and destroy us with unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and resentment and depression and anxiety and worry and fear, just to name a few. We must ask ourselves and be honest. Final suspect, what about our mind gate? You know, we think thoughts we shouldn't, and then we act upon them by saying and doing things that are contrary to God's word and His holiness. Entertaining sinful, evil, and unrighteous thoughts is destructive to a victorious and blessed life in Christ. Just because a thought enters into your mind doesn't mean that you need to keep it there. Entertain it, feed it, give it the best seat in the house, and consider it your friend. It's just the opposite. That thought is an enemy that has its sights set on yours and my complete annihilation. You see, it's a Trojan horse. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's a candy-coated poison pill. And we must ask ourselves and be honest. Those are the four main gates that I can think of. So now that we've identified them, and we've identified that the enemy can breach into those things and maybe are destroying us through those gates, what should we do with these things that we see and hear and feel and think? Let's go back to Nehemiah, because the next thing that we look at, and this is what Nehemiah did, after he identified them, he rectified them. It's on the screen. Write it down. Rectified them. How can they be rectified? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. This is what he said to the people after he identified the issue. He said, "You see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come," he's saying to the people, "let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." Folks, there's some walls that need to be rebuilt in your life today. There's some gates that need to be rebuilt in your life today and mine. And so as you fast forward and read chapter 3, 4, 5, and the first part of chapter 6, he did just that, along with a pile of people from that city. The next four chapters, he, with the help of the people of the Lord, cleaned up, organized, and rebuilt the walls and the gates. And we read the good news in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, when he said this. As we read it, it says, "So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul." That's like saying the 24th of January. It was a day and a month. In 52 days, they rebuilt those walls and gates. It was completed. The wall all around the city and the gates, it was back to how it should be. Now, it wasn't easy. If you read those chapters, there was a ton of opposition by some people that did not want him to get those walls built. Many times he was tempted away. Many times he was distracted. But Nehemiah kept to the task. Nehemiah wasn't fooled by the tricks of his enemy. And he stayed focused on the repair of the walls and the gates. Folks, today, we must recognize that the enemy of our souls will not just sit back and let us rectify and rebuild those torn down gates without a fight. He likes straying your eyes to the wrong things. He likes opening your ears to the destructive things. He likes access to your heart and mind to fill them with things that will keep you exposed and vulnerable to his attacks. But when we've given Satan too much access for far too long to the gates of our lives, when he knocks, we've opened the door far too many times and allowed him into the foyer of our lives. And folks, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, I'm here to tell you that he does not belong in the foyer of your life. And we must repair those breaches and shore up those areas that have been far too soft for far too long. God made a promise to Israel that I believe we can embrace for our lives as it relates to restoring our broken down walls and gates. It's found in Amos chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 11 and then skip to verse 14. It says, "In that day I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair its broken walls and restore its ruins. I will rebuild it as it used to be, and I will bring my people Israel back from exile. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit." It sounds like that God is making prosperous and healthy and whole what Satan tried to destroy. He thought he had us, but he doesn't have us. We're God's property, and he's in the business of rebuilding your life. And you see, that's the thing about it, is that we can't do it. I can't rebuild this wall. I can't rebuild this gate. I can't make a plant to grow. I can't make vineyards to grow and gardens to grow. I can't do it. I can plant a seed. I can do my part. But it's God that brings the increase, right? We plant water and God brings the increase. Only God can repair the brokenness in your life. You can't do it on your own. All these self-help books, all of these things that are out there of advice, and all these experts out there. Listen, God's Word tells you very clearly, only God can do it. And if you'll give the brokenness to the Lord, he will rebuild what's been broken. He will build up what's been burned down. He will shore up what's been breached. He will clean up what's been dirty. Only God can do it. You simply just say, "Lord, here I am. Won't you do in me what needs to be done?" As you yield to him, let him do the ultimate work that comes only from him. And that way he ultimately gets the ultimate glory. It's not, "Look what I've done." It's, "Look what God has done in me." I can't do anything in my own strength, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, including allowing him to build me back up. You see, God is the restorer of broken lives. Only God is the mender of broken hearts. You see, God is the builder of torn down walls. Only God is the repairer of the breached areas in our life. And let me just take one more step further on this. Not only does he want to repair what's going on inside of us, but I feel with all of my heart the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell this to somebody today. I feel so strongly to tell you that whatever not only is broken inside of your life, no matter what is breached inside of your life, but whatever is broken outside of your life, he wants to repair. I feel like the Holy Spirit specifically wants me to tell someone today that's viewing this, that's here today, listen to me. He wants to mend a broken relationship that you grieved over for many years. I feel so strongly in my spirit to encourage you today that he's here to tell you that he's getting ready to repair a broken relationship that has been that way for many years, that has seemed hopeless in your life. Today, he's making a turnaround. It seems beyond repair, and God is going to repair it. I don't know what that looks like or if that resonates in your heart, but I want to encourage you today with that. Look for that to happen in your life. The fact is, there's so much brokenness in life. The longer we live, the potentially more broken that we become. But I'm so thankful that God is the mender. God is the restorer. God is the healer of all of our brokenness. He alone shores up the breaches in our life. He alone builds fortresses against the enemy. He alone fights our battles for us. So give Him all of those areas in your life that need rectifying, those gates that have been breached and are in need of repair. The eye gate. Lord, I give You my eye gates today. Lord, we give You our ear gates. We give You our heart gate. We give You our mind gate. It's a great prayer. And let Him do the work that needs to be done that only He can do. Isaiah 40, 31 encourages us with this. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. All of that comes from the Lord, not from our strength. Aren't you thankful? So we've identified them, and then we've allowed God to rectify them. But what do we do once we know what they are and once they've been rebuilt? You can't just leave that alone, because the final step is that we must fortify them. Write that down. Fortify them. Let's return to Nehemiah one more time. Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 and 3. You see, once the walls are rebuilt, he pivots. And he turns to fortifying what has been rebuilt. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 7. After the wall had been rebuilt and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. Remember those three groups of people. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. I said to them, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts and some near their own houses. You see what he was doing? He was fortifying the gates. He was putting some strong people in place of those gates so that nothing would be allowed in that would destroy the inside of that city. Oh, there was plenty of enemy outside and they were wanting to get in, but you'd have to get through this. You'd have to get through me. You'd have to get through what I'm putting up there to fortify those gates. There's three groups of people in which Nehemiah fortified this city. Let's talk about them very quickly. The gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites. Those are representative of people. The gatekeepers were the militant who kept all of the riffraff out. The musicians were the worshipers who kept the presence of God in. And the Levites were the ones who kept God's instruction in focus. You know, we can learn much from this as we fortify the gates of our lives. First, we must assign gatekeepers to guard our eye gates, ear gates, heart gates, and mind gates. Put guards there. Put gatekeepers there. Those gatekeepers are hollering out, "Halt! Who goes there?" It must be the cry of our hearts every single time when those things start coming at us. We allow the Holy Spirit to say, "Halt! Who goes there? You Trojan horse, you wolf in sheep's clothing, you candy-coated poison pill. You are not going to get into my life. I discern that this is an evil thing that's trying to get into me. The Holy Spirit tells me to be on guard and to turn and flee, to change my course, to say no thank you, and to choose the holy way, to choose the godly way." All of those things are going to attempt to get by us in any means to continue their covert, destructive ways. And as you cry out to the Holy Spirit, I can tell you something, the Holy Spirit can do it well if we let Him. Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4 says, "Set a guard over my mouth." Oh, what a great prayer. "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Don't let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat of their delicacies." You see, as we give permission to the Holy Spirit to be our gatekeeper, He will give us the discernment as to what we allow in and what we must turn away. Night and day, the Holy Spirit is there. Day in and day out, 24/7, without fail. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always on watch. He's guarding our hearts. He's completely dependable. He's all wise and will always have our best interest at heart. As his goal for you and me is for us to be Christ-like and to live a life of victory and blessing in Christ. Holy Spirit, come and be our gatekeepers this morning. Amen. The next group of people that Nehemiah assigned to fortify those gates were the worshipers. And they represent our relationship with Jesus. You see, daily, folks, daily, every moment of every day, as we take time to worship Him, as we take time to give Him thanks, as we take time to acknowledge Him with our lips to say, Jesus, good morning to you. I worship you today, and throughout the day, I worship you, and throughout the day, I acknowledge you, and throughout the day, I cultivate my relationship with you, and you're all the all in all in my life. You're all that I need. You're my all-consuming one. You're my companion, my Savior, my friend, my guide, my healer, my provider. I have a relationship with you as my Lord. You see, as we take time to do that throughout the day, the enemy can't stand it. The enemy can't stand it when we worship. And when we do, that darkness has to flee. That deceit has to flee. His plans are exposed and they fall flat. He don't know how to get in through worship and praise. When you praise Him, those chains fall off. When you praise Him, it creates a shield. And the enemy says, I have no idea how to get around that praise. I'm done today. I'll try again tomorrow. But no, I'm going to praise you again today, Lord. And every day of my life, I will bless the Lord at all times. And His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That sounds like 24/7 to me. And I'd rather exhale praise to Him than complaints. I'd rather exhale glory and worship to Him than gossip and fear and negativity. I just want to expend my breath on giving Him praise the best that I can. I don't succeed in that. But oh, may that be a goal for all of us to just more times than not choose to say, I will bless the Lord, and I will stop opening up my mouth and saying stuff that's corroding my heart and giving place for the enemy. You know, when those temptations come in your life, and they will come, not if, but when, it's time to worship. When those opportunities for your eye, ear, heart, mind gate, if you start knocking, if they start, hey, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I just praise you. I just praise you. I'm going to worship you. When those challenges arise, I'm going to worship you. When my eye and ear and heart and mind are confronted with the option to sin, I'm going to begin to shout praises out loud to Jesus, and I'm going to watch what happens. The enemy must flee. He's going to show us the way of escape, folks. Jesus is going to be is going to become a door into His presence. It's going to become a door into His power. And it's going to become a door into His victory over sin. Praise Him. Praise Him. I think we need to praise Him now. Can you just praise Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for the power of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit, we allow you to be our gatekeeper. You do your part. Now we're going to praise. We're going to do our part. We're going to praise you. We're going to be those musicians that fortify our lives with praise to the Most High God. And then we look at the third group of people that Nehemiah sent in to fortify the city. They were the Levites. They represent, I believe, God's word. The Levites were the priests. They were the pastors of those days. And it represents God's word, hearkening back to last week's message. As we engage in Jesus, in God's word daily. Daily. Say that word with me, daily. Daily, daily, daily. Do you guys eat every day, yes or no? Physically, yeah, we want that hamburger, don't we? We want that cup of coffee, that breakfast. We got to eat. Oh God, may we hunger for your word like we hunger for that meal that we eat every day. Daily get in God's word. Daily feed on His word. As we engage in His word daily, we can overcome the enemy as we hide His Word in our hearts, that we might not sin against Him. You see, Jesus quoted the Bible 3 times when tempted all 3 times by Satan. You see, Satan cannot overcome God's Word. He can try to twist it. He can try to manipulate it. But if we know God's Word, and he tries to twist it back to say, that's not what God's Word says. And we speak it back in truth. Satan cannot overcome God's Word. But you and I can't overcome Satan if we don't have God's Word in our hearts. If we don't have Christ in us. You by yourself, me by myself, we cannot defeat Satan. There's no contest. Satan is greater than me, but Jesus is greater in me than Satan. And that's where we go with this. So hide God's Word in your heart, and you've got to engage in God's Word to hide it. Daily, Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 20 through 27. Pay attention to what I say. This is God's Word. Turn your ears to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Don't turn to the right or to the left, and keep your foot from evil. That covers all the gates right there, doesn't it? You see, when the gates of our lives are confronted by the enemy and when they come knocking on our door, we take the two-edged sword of God's Word and let Satan have it. Folks, show no mercy to him. Slice him to bits. Leave no trace of him. Then rejoice. Give thanks to God, who fights our battles for us and makes us more than conquerors, more than overcomers through Christ Jesus. Amen? I'm going to leave you with one more thought, one more quick story found in 2 Chronicles of how I believe God wants us to approach this insipid, relentless evil that attacks our eye, ear, heart, and mind gates on a daily basis. I want you to listen to this. Real quick setup to this is that there was an evil king who died, and his mama, who was evil, took charge of the kingdom of Jerusalem, of Israel rather, during a period of time. And there was this little boy that was rescued. He was in lineage of the kingship. And Jehoiada. Let's just call him Jehoiada, because there's an I in there somewhere. I'm not where to put it. So Jehoiada, all right? Those are awful names back then. Thank you, Lord, I'm Brian. I'll just take Brian. Jehoiada, okay? Jehoiada was the priest, and he took this little baby king who was not old enough to lead, and he kept him safe for years until he grew up to the point where he took a step in 2 Chronicles chapter 23, and he said, now's the time. And he sprung it on this evil queen of Israel. And so I begin in verse 16 with what Jehoiada did to reestablish holiness in the kingdom. Listen to this. Jehoiada the priest made a covenant that he, the people, and the king would be the Lord's people. All the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. False idols. I'm tearing it down. They smashed the altars and the idols and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altar. So this guy who's saying, come worship this thing. You're dead, man. Get out of my face. Then Jehoiada placed the oversight of the temple of the Lord in the hands of the Levitical priests, the preachers of that day, to whom David had made assignments in the temple to present the burnt offerings of the Lord as written in the laws of Moses. He was setting things straight again. When rejoicing and singing, with rejoicing and singing as David had ordered. He also stationed, gatekeepers. at the gates of the Lord's temple so that no one who was in any way unclean might enter. He took with him the commanders of hundreds, the nobles, the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the temple of the Lord, and they went into the palace through the upper gate and seated the king on the royal throne. You see what he did? He took gatekeepers, he took the Levites, and he took the worshipers. All three of those were there. They were reintroduced again. The Holy Spirit, the relationship with Jesus in our worship, and God's Word. Those three things are essential to fortify our lives going forward. Say that with me. Say, the Holy Spirit, relationship with Jesus, and God's Word. Those are essential, folks. If you've got nothing else out of today, take those three things to help you fortify the gates in your life and walk it out. Your mama or your daddy's not going to do it for you. We got to do it all by ourselves, and the Holy Spirit will be there to help us every step of the way. Folks, it's time to get aggressive, because the enemy's aggressive, isn't he? It's time to be diligent, because we know the enemy is diligent. It's time to be on your guard, because we know that the enemy is relentless. It's time to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, because the enemy isn't stronger than Jesus in you. And one more thing, we've got to be intentional to keep Jesus the King seated on the throne of our hearts. It's time to identify our broken down and breached gates, eyes, ears, heart, mind, and let's trust God to build them back, and then to fortify them with His Word so that we can walk in victory and blessing for His purposes and plans for our life. How many wants that with all your heart today? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You today. As for me and my house, as Joshua said, You can serve these idols here and You can do this over there. You can do whatever You want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Father, we're going to establish our lives upon the foundation of Your Word. We're not going to just hear it, but we're going to walk it out. We're going to build our foundation on the solid rock of who You are and walk this thing out. We're going to be a doer of Your Word. And then today, Lord God, help us to identify these gates. Help us then, Lord God, to rectify, to get them fixed, to build back up, and then to fortify them with Your Holy Spirit, with a deep, daily, abiding, growing relationship with You, and with knowing Your Word, so that when the enemy tries to trick us up, that we would know Your Word and come against the enemy's tricks and say, that's not what God's Word says. I want to invite you right now, as you bow your heads in prayer, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to be the gatekeeper of your gates. Maybe we need to even back up and say, Lord, we've identified these things. And maybe there's some other things that You know about. Those four biggies right there that all of us have: eyes, ears, heart, mind, our emotions, our thoughts, the things that we say, rather the things that we see and the things that we hear. Those are all coming into our lives. What comes out is our words. We speak out words. Words don't go in, they come out. But Lord, we know the things that come in are the gates that we need fortified. So help us, Lord Jesus. Build those things up, we pray. We give You the gates that have been burned down and breached and weakened and softened over the years. Won't You build them up right now? Won't You just give the Lord Jesus right now Your eye gate? Oh, give Him Your eye gate. Give Him Your ear gate. Give Him Your heart gate, Your emotions. Give Him Your mind gate, Your thoughts. Allow Him to build those things back up. Won't you just right now just do that? If you're listening at home, let Him build it up right now. Let Him begin the process of getting it built back up and fortified again, whole again. And then Holy Spirit, we invite You. Now do this. Just Holy Spirit, I invite You to be my gatekeeper, so that You can discern for me when the enemy tries to come in. Give me discernment, Holy Spirit. I need You, Holy Spirit. I'm not that smart. I'm not that great. I need You. Holy Spirit, I need You. Holy Spirit, we need You. We can't do this on our own. We can't build ourselves up on our own. It's going to be You, Jesus, or it's going to be nobody. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to be our gatekeeper. Won't you just invite Him right now to be your gatekeeper? to fortify those gates in your life? Why don't you also make a commitment to worship Him, to be a musician, a worshiper in that sense? And say, Lord, I know one of the essential things to fortify it is I must bless You at all times and let Your praise be continually in my mouth. So, Lord Jesus, let me praise You. Let me worship You. Let me be a worshiper. Let me be a musician that sings praises to You all the time, throughout the day, not just on Sundays for a few minutes, but 24/7. Oh, Jesus, help me to be a worshiper to You. Let that be something that fortifies your life going forward, folks, as it is for me. And Lord, help us finally to let the Levites come in, God's Word, Your Word, to come and hide Your Word in our hearts so we might fortify those gates so that the enemy can't lie to us. But we know God's Word, and that we have Your Word hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. With every eye closed and head bowed this morning, if you need Jesus in your life, if you've gotten some burned down gates and you just, boy, the enemy's just walking on in, free access, he's just coming on in and you're just sick and tired of it. And today you want the Lord to help you to turn that corner and rebuild those walls so that the enemy would stop coming in. And you want to live your best, blessed life in Christ starting today. If that's you, lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. I can't do this anymore on my own. Lift up your hand and put it right back down and we'll pray together. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how far you think you've gone. It doesn't matter how damaged you think you are. I'm here to tell you, those walls were completely burned down. When Nehemiah got there, it was so awful. He couldn't even walk his horse around. It was just so cluttered. He had to get off of his horse and walk around. They were completely destroyed. God can take and do miracles in your life if you'll let Him. Give Him the rubble, the heap of rubble in your life, and let Him rebuild it. Lift up your hand this morning and put it right back down if you want to ask Jesus in your life. Lord, I thank You. Everybody knows You're here today. But if not, and if there's people viewing online here, I pray they would simply say this prayer, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Wash me clean. Fill me, Lord Jesus, with Your presence and forgive me and be my Lord and be my Savior. From this moment on, I vow to serve You and I thank You that from this day on, I'm a new creation in You. I'm a child of God. All things have passed away and all things have become new in You. Thank You, Lord.